Isaiah 63 and verse 7, I will mention the loving kindnesses of the Lord and the praises of the Lord, according to all that the Lord hath bestowed on us, and the great goodness toward the house of Israel, which he hath bestowed on them according to his mercies, and according to the multitude of his loving kindnesses. For he said, surely they are my people, children that will not lie. So he was their Savior. In all their affliction he was afflicted. And the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his pity he redeemed them. And he bare them and carried them all the days of old. Father, we thank you for the privilege that we have to worship you this morning, to give to your cause. Thank you for the work of God that's going on. Praise the Lord for souls being saved, for people answering the call of God to go with this message of truth, this message of salvation. Father, we thank you for those who gave this morning. Pray that you'd anoint us to be able to speak the word of God to this congregation. We give you the praise and honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Well, there's some wonderful things going on. The kingdom of God, we're so happy for what Jesus is doing. We just, last week, were up in Powhatan with Brother Scott Aslan, where he is reviving an old work there, a church that's been there since 1740s, I believe. And it's just wonderful to see what the Lord is doing. I want to preach to you this morning on the privileged people. My text tells us about the extreme love and loyalty that God exhibits toward his people. And that love and loyalty was seen in God's treatment of Old Testament Israel, and now in his treatment of the New Testament church. I'm going to inform you this morning that we are privileged people. We are the people of God. Hallelujah. And in verse 9 of my text, we're given four aspects of God's favor toward his privileged people. First of all, the scriptures tell us that he suffers with them. Secondly, the scriptures tell us that he delivers them out of their suffering. Thirdly, the scriptures tell us that he redeems them. And finally, the scriptures tell us that he carries them. First of all, the scriptures tell us in my text that the Lord suffers with his people. He says, in all their affliction, he was afflicted. In all of their suffering, God suffered with them. Well, it's hard to get a hold of, ain't it? Hard for us to imagine that in all of the sufferings of God's people, that God suffers with them. In other words, the scriptures tell us that God does not derive pleasure from our pain, and he is not detached from our distress, but God suffers along with his people. Isaiah tells us in Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 3 that Jesus is a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. If you read in the next verse in that same chapter, it tells us that the source of his sorrow. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Here's the reason why Jesus is a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Because he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. You know, the sorrows of Jesus were not just because he's rejected of men. It's because Jesus identifies with us. Surely Jesus has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Carried means to bear a load. He entered into our sorrows. In all of our afflictions, he was afflicted. When Paul lay in the dust of that Damascus road, holding arrest warrants in his hands for the Christians in Damascus, Jesus let Paul know that the violence he was inflicting upon the people of God affected him. He said, "Why are you persecuting me?" Jesus let him know that what you're doing to my people, you are doing it to me. Why are you persecuting me? In the day of judgment, Jesus will condemn or clear us based on our attitude toward the people of God. To the condemned, he says, "When I was hungry, you didn't feed me. When I was thirsty, you didn't give me anything to drink. When I was sick and in prison, you visited me not." And they want to know, "Lord, when did we turn you down?" And Jesus said, "Inasmuch as you did it not unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it not unto me." In other words, Jesus says, "I suffered with them. I suffered with my deprived people. When you did not do it to them, you did not do it to me. And if you fed them, you fed me. And if you gave them a drink of water, you gave me a drink of water. Whatever you did to them, you did it to me." When Jesus arrived at the house of Mary and Martha, heard the weeping over Lazarus, Jesus groaned in the spirit and was troubled or disturbed. Jesus wept. His friends were distressed. Death had robbed them of their brother. And Jesus loved them, and he felt their sorrow. And hot tears streamed down the face of the Son of God, because Jesus suffers with us in all our afflictions. He is afflicted. Secondly, my text tells us that he delivers them out of their suffering. The scriptures say in verse 9, the angel of his presence saved them. The angel of his presence is probably an Old Testament designation for Jesus. He saved them or rescued them. Psalm 34:19 tells us, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Verse 17 of that same chapter says, the righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. And the psalmist details some of God's deliverances for the children of Israel in their wilderness wanderings in Psalm chapter 78, verses 15 and 16. He clave the rocks in the wilderness, gave them drink as out of the great depths. He brought streams also out of the rock, and caused waters to run down like rivers. Brother, when God gave them a drink of water, he's given a drink of water to millions of people. It wasn't just a trickle that came out of that rock. I'm telling you, rivers came out of that rock, and God met the need of his people in the wilderness. Verses 24 and 25 of that same chapter says that he rained down manna upon them to eat, gave them of the corn of heaven. Man did eat angels' food, and he sent them meat to the full. When they needed food, God gave them food. God doesn't spare his people from suffering and from crises, but he never intends for us to become the victims of our suffering and crisis either. He makes all things work together for good. Hallelujah. He makes all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are the called according to his purpose. And we know that regardless of the nature and the extent of our distress, there is a positive outcome promised by our Lord. Hallelujah. Well, that's comforting, brother, that no matter what our circumstances are, our Lord has promised a positive outcome to the people of God. We are not the victims of malicious forces or fate, but we are the privileged people of God assured of victory by the help of our Lord. Praise God. He sent His angel, the angel of His presence, saved them. Thirdly, He redeemed His people. The Bible says in my text, in His pity, in His love and in His pity, He redeemed them. God was moved to action by the agony of the children of Israel in Egyptian bondage. He appeared to Moses in that burning bush, and God said to him, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and I have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters. Listen to me, for I know their sorrows, and I am come down to deliver them. Redemption would finally be accomplished through the sacrifice of the Passover in Egypt, the blood of a lamb shed, the blood spread over the doorpost to spare the Israelites, while the death angel entered every household of the Egyptians and destroyed the firstborn. That night, their bondage was broken. They were redeemed because of God's love and God's compassion toward them. Redemption in the New Testament involves the deliverance of men from the bondage of sin. God sent Moses to deliver Israel. He sent Jesus, His Son, to deliver us. Israel was redeemed through the blood of a lamb. We are redeemed by better blood. The blood of the spotless, sinless Son of God. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I'm glad God loved us when we were wretched and miserable sinners. Sin brought us shame, bound us by habits that we hated and could not break. Smoking and cursing and drinking. And sin forced us to put on a fake face in decent company because we were ashamed of the way we lived in private. Sin wrecked our relationships at home, on our jobs, in our communities, through lust, lying, cheating, angry outburst, gossip, backbiting, selfishness, and greed. Sin ruined our character and ruined our reputation. We avoided responsibilities. Our greed caused us to overspend. We neglected our duties as father and husband and son. And sin made mothers harden their heart toward their children and walk away from their children, assign somebody else the responsibility of raising their children while they go to the marketplace to make more money, get more things. Thank God, Jesus redeemed us. God's love and mercy saved us from our misery. And I want you to note what God has to say about His redeemed in verse 8. Surely they are my people. He bought them with His blood. Surely they are my people. Children that will not lie, or that will not deal falsely with me. So He was their Savior. I'm telling you, we are privileged people. We have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus. And finally, my text tells us that He carries them. He bare them and carried them all the days of old. In Deuteronomy chapter 32, verses 9 through 12, Moses spoke this about the people of God. For the Lord's portion is His people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. He found him in a desert land. In the waste, howling wilderness, he led him about. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye. As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them and beareth them on her wings, so the Lord alone did lead him. He carried his people. When the children of Israel finally settled into their inheritance in Canaan, the Lord deserved the glory, brother. He led them. He fed them. He fought for them. He instructed them. He carried them all the way. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I don't know if I'm getting through to you or not, but just hold on here a minute. Praise God. I remember that story of the seeking shepherd and the lost sheep. The Bible tells us when that shepherd found that lost sheep, he put him on his shoulders and he carried him home and told everybody, I want you to rejoice with me. My sheep that was lost is now found. Thank God. And he don't just get us up, slap us around, say you've got here on your own, now get home on your own. He picked him up. I know you love that poem about footprints in the sand. The two footprints, sets of footprints, and then the one. I can't say that's my life. I think my life is one set all along. Ever since Jesus found me, he's been carrying me. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah. That's what he does. He carries us. And you know, there's really no excuse for us not to make the journey when we're being carried on his shoulders. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Thank God he carries us. He leads us by his Spirit. He feeds us with his word. He gives power to the faint. To them that have no might, he increases strength. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They'll run and not be weary. They'll walk and not faint. Heard a man in the show quoting that scripture, and he said there's something in that scripture for every age group. For the youth, they'll soar like eagles. For the middle aged, they'll run and not be weary. For the aged, they'll walk and not faint. But there's something in there for every one of us. God gives us the strength to make the journey. Regardless of what age we are, God gives us the strength to make the journey. He carries us. We are privileged people. We're being carried all the way home. I tell you what, brother. It's time to get rid of our doubts and despair. Refuse to give in to despair. You're in the hand of the Father. Jesus told us, you're in the hand of the Father, and no man is able to pluck you out of the Father's hand. We're being carried to heaven. Hallelujah. Jesus makes a powerful statement. I will leave you with this powerful statement that Jesus makes in John 17:23. This is his prayer, his high priestly prayer, just before his crucifixion. I in them, talking about his disciples, thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and get this, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. I'm telling you, brother, it's hard for me to get wrapped around that, that God loves you just like he loved his Son, Jesus Christ. Now, I don't want you to leave this place feeling like God don't care. You're privileged. You're in his hands. He suffers with you. He promised to deliver you from all of your sufferings. He redeemed you When you couldn't help yourself, he bought you for himself. And he carries you in his hands and on his shoulder. There's no excuse for any of us not making it to glory when we are such privileged people. He loves us just like he loved his son Jesus. I have a little poem here I picked up at home called The Song of the Sparrow. I'm only a little sparrow, a bird of low degree. My life is of little value, but the dear Lord cares for me. He gives me a coat of feathers, it's very plain, I know, without a speck of crimson, for it was not made for show, but it keeps me warm in winter. It shields me from the rain. Were it bordered with gold and purple, perhaps it would make me vain. And when the springtime cometh, I'll build a little nest with many a chirp of pleasure in the spot I love the best. I have no barn or storehouse, I neither sow nor reap. God gives me a sparrow's portion with never a seed to keep. I know there are many sparrows all over the world we are found, but our Heavenly Father knoweth when one of us falls to the ground. Though small, we are never forgotten. Though weak, we are never afraid. For we know the dear Lord keepeth the life of the creatures he made. I fly through city and country. I light on many a spray. I have no chart or compass, but I never lose my way. I just fold my wings at nightfall, wherever I happen to be. For the Father is always watching, and no harm can come to me. I'm only a little sparrow, a bird of low degree. But I know that my Father loves me. Dost thou know his love for thee? I'm telling you, you are a privileged people. Let's stand to our feet. Father, we want to thank you for the time we had together in the house of God this morning. We thank you for the comfort of the Word of God, for the commitment that the Lord has made to his people. Thank you, Lord, that you've made us such a privileged people. Oh, God, we look at people in the world with their fine homes, with their full bank accounts. Lord, with all of the benefits the world can offer to them. But we wouldn't trade places for nothing in the world because we are the privileged people of God. And we know that godliness is profitable not only in this world, but in the world to come. I pray that you'd bless every person in this place that knows the Lord as their personal Savior to get a hold of these truths that we do not suffer alone, that in all of our affliction, the Lord is afflicted with us. And that in all of our sufferings, Jesus delivers us out of them all. There will be a day, Lord, when we'll look back and we'll say, the Lord brought me through it. He gave me the victory. He sustained me through it. Glory to God. Oh, God, you redeemed us. We've been bought with a price, the dear price of the blood of the Son of God. Lord, you carry us on your back, in your hands. Thank God we're not left alone to try to do our best. Lord, our very best wouldn't be enough. But thank God that we're carried by the Master. We cannot lose as long as we trust in you. As long as we're content to live in your hands, oh God, we cannot lose. Thank you, Jesus. None is greater than your Father. Hallelujah. And no man can pluck us out of his hands. We thank you for that, Father. We pray that you would encourage every heart that's here this morning. I pray that you would impress the Word of God upon the hearts of every individual in this place. When we leave here, may we leave here with a spring in our step, knowing that God is for us, that we are the privileged people of God. And the Lord is working in our behalf. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, We surrender our lives to you, and we commit this congregation into your hands. We pray that if there's a soul here that hasn't yet made their calling and election sure, they'll surrender their heart and life to the Son of God today. Get rid of that shameful past. Let it be covered by the blood of Christ and walk out a free man. Thank God for the redeeming blood of Jesus. We'll give you the praise and honor this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.